We bless the Lord today, and we give the glory and the praise to Him and to Him alone. On this second Sunday of Advent, we certainly stop, pause, and recognize that if it were not for the Lord on our side, amen, where would we be? Come on, somebody knows that testimony. Yes, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? Won't you stand to your feet and turn with me in your Bibles to the second book of the Bible, the Old Testament book of Exodus. Exodus chapter number 12. Exodus chapter number 12. Amen. And I want to begin reading starting at verse number 1. Exodus chapter 12. Say amen. You've located the text. Amen. Amen. If your Bible is like mine, it has a caption over most chapters, if not every chapter. And my caption in my New King James Version says, God establishes the Passover. Verse 1 of chapter 12. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the tenth of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in the fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning. And what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. Thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. Here ends the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May edify and may sanctify the people of God. I would that you keep standing, remain standing with me and pray with me on the title of this sermon, We Three Kings. We Three Kings. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we pray your blessings now upon the word, that it would not return void, but that it may accomplish that which you intended. May hearts be encouraged, may minds be illuminated, may souls be convicted today. Save somebody touch everybody, but save somebody. And those of us who claim to already be saved, I pray that you would touch us, that we may have a closer walk with thee. Convict us, Lord, to know that we're not just playing church, that we've got to be the church in these last and evil days. So, Lord, we bless you today, and we give you the glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus' sweet and wonderful name, let the church of Jesus Christ say, amen, amen, and amen. Why don't you keep standing, keep standing. I'm going to do something a little different tonight, today. I want you to turn in your blue hymnals to another hymn, hymn number 217. And there is a Christmas classic hymn called We Three Kings of the Orient. Anybody know it? And so we're going to sing this song together on this second Sunday of Advent. And if you don't know the song, do like I do. You can mouth sync it. Amen. And if you don't sing too well, just lip sync like I do. Just make a joyful noise. You can make a noise under your breath. Amen. But Lord, we got enough good singers in this choir and certainly out in the congregation that can help lift up this song of praise. But I want to recite the words before we sing it. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts we traverse afar. Field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. O star of wonder, star of night, star of royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, creasing never, over us to reign. O star of wonder, star of night, star of royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Frankincense to offer have I, incense owns a deity nigh. Prayer and praising, all men raising, worship him, God on high. O star of wonder, star of night, star of royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. The third king says, myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume, breath a life of gathering gloom, sorrow sighing, bleeding dying, sealed in a stone cold tomb. O star of wonder, star of night, star of royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Glorious now, behold him arise, King and God and sacrifice. Alleluia, alleluia, earth to heavens replies. O star of wonder, star of night, star of royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, following yonder star. O star of wonder, star of night, star of royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, following yonder star. Profound lyrics for a profound season to celebrate a profound God. Let us open our mouths and sing unto the Lord. Amen. God bless you. It is, every time I hear the words of this song, in my estimation, one of the most profound Christmas carols that we could sing. For in this song, for me, is wrapped up the sovereignty of God, the power of the divine, over all that is secular, star of beauty, star of night, star of royal beauty bright. God put in the sky a star, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. The star in the sky illuminates the star, the Son of God. And in a season where darkness might seem to prevail all around us, I need you to remember, God always places a star. Westward leading, still proceeding. Guide us to thy perfect light. In a season where we don't know what's going to happen under a Trump presidency, star of beauty, star of night. Westward leading, still proceeding. Guide us to thy marvelous, perfect light. In a season where this president-elect has offended minorities and Mexicans and Muslims and mujeres, Spanish for women, I would remind us today that God still has a star. So as I continue to pray about this season of uncertainty, the one thing I know is certain is the God I serve. And so the Lord laid on my heart today to remind you about the three kings. And as you look in your bulletin today, it's not just a sermon for today, it's a sermon for the next 4 weeks, not excluding or excluding next week. So today, the first Sunday of December, the last month of this 2016 year after our Lord's ascension, I want to talk about three kings. The first king today being Pharaoh. We're going to skip next week and go to the 18th, the second king being King Nebuchadnezzar. And then the Christmas Sunday, one service, remember, one service only, 10 o'clock on the 25th. We will end with the third king, and that third king being Herod the king. And so I want to talk about God's sovereignty over secular government. I want to talk about God's power and authority, his providential hand over the government of Egypt, over the government of Babylon, and over the government of Rome. These three kings of the Orient, it's a double entendre, of course, because this Christmas Carol classic is not about governmental kings, but it's really about the three magi. It is about the three royal followers, some would say shepherds, but other traditions say the three kings. And these three kings come bringing frankincense and gold and myrrh, gifts for a God to whom you can give no gift worthy of his value. Micah says, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself down before you? What can I give God that is worthy of God who breathed life into our very bodies? Think about it for a moment. What Christmas gift can you give the God of the universe? You can't give God enough money to pay for your soul. You can't give God enough time to pay for your soul. You can't stay in choir rehearsal long enough. You can't be on the deacon board and pray long enough. You can't count money long enough to pay for your soul. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself down before you? Shall I come with burnt offerings or with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000 rivers of gold? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sins of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. I get tired of folk who think they're doing God a favor. I get tired of folk who think they're giving money and giving time and that God owes them something. God doesn't owe us anything. What we owe is everything to God. And so we've got to get it twisted and stop twisting it around and understand that everything we have, everything we are, everything we hope to ever be is because God's grace and His mercy. And we all have to bring it down just a little bit. On this Christmas season, this second Sunday of Advent, you're not doing God a favor. You can't pay for your soul. You can't pay for your sins. That's why Jesus had to come. Because we don't have enough in our bank account. We don't have enough children to sacrifice. We don't have enough to give God what God is worth. But to give God what we think we're worth. So, I'm tying together a lot of different themes here. Y'all work with me. Because on this second Sunday of Advent, most preachers around the world are talking about the stories of the Nativity and the Christ child. And I'm going to get to that to be sure. But I want to pan the camera back and remind Christian believers in a season of uncertainty, that this is not the first ruler to rule over God's people in which there was a period of uncertainty. In point of fact, the Bible is replete with kings and queens who thought to exercise their secular power over God's people only to be reminded that God is God all by God's self. And all the people of God need to do is not lose all their marbles, keep it together, and understand that you serve a God who sits high and looks low, and if He did it before, He can do it again and again and again and again. And so I'm going to give President-elect Trump a chance. But at the first sign that his values don't match God's values, listen, and notice I didn't say my values. I didn't say at the first sign of his values not matching my values. Because I can really care less about my values if my values don't match up to God's values. And so as believers, we must understand that the standard of measurement isn't Democratic and Republican. The standard of measurement is man versus God. And as long as man lines up with God, everything will be all right. But when man disaligns himself or misaligns himself with God, that's when God pulls the trump card. No pun intended. Or every pun intended. God will pull the trump card over Trump. We don't have to talk about the man. We don't have to call him names. But at the sign that his values misalign with God's, That's when we, the people of God, must stand up, speak out, and declare what thus saith the Lord. And I would have said the same, and I did say a version of this, although I had less concern. I would say it under President Obama's administration. I would say it under President Clinton's administration. I would say it under President Bush's administration. I would say it under any secular leader's administration. I may like them, I may not. But it's not about whether I like them or not. It's about what does God's word has to say, and does the leader actions and his policies and her behavior match up to what God's word has to say. That, beloved, is the standard by which we must enter this new presidency. And so I remind us of the three kings. Not the first time God's people have to deal with a ruler in power whose values did not align with God's values. Not the first time that the people of God had to stand up and say, I'm not going to eat your meat, King. Not the first time that the people of God says, I'm not going back where I came from. I've got another way. It's not the first time that God's people had to be divinely led, star of beauty, star of night, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. We're not following Democratic or Republican party alignment. And if you are, you better get it back in alignment with God. We've got to follow the light to which God is leading us. The perfect light. And so today, beloved, over the next 3 Sundays of Advent, I want to remind us of how God has sovereignty over the king. And when we humble ourselves and bring the best that we have to God, you understand what I'm saying? The double entendre is, I'm going to focus on Pharaoh and Nebuchadnezzar and Herod, but I want to keep coming back to these three kings, because what they did in the face of earthly secular government is bring their best to God. Brought my myrrh and my frankincense and my gold. Some of us don't want to bring our gold to God. Some of us don't want to bring our frankincense and our myrrh to God. But you need, even if you don't have frankincense and myrrh and gold, you need to dig deep down and get your best, whatever you have, and bring it to the Lord. I want you to dust off your best praise. I want you to dust off your best prayer. I want you to dust off your best mentality. It's not about physicality. It's about the spiritual gifts that you bring unto the Lord. Bring your best to God. These three kings of the Orient. If you look at this text is forever etched in the annals of the Jewish psyche. Because it is this very text in which the feast of the Passover is instituted. No coincidence, I'm talking about the blood on First Sunday. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And as we talk about this feast, I don't want you to lose sight of the fact that it is juxtaposed against the authority of an earthly king by the name of Pharaoh, who had his thumbnail and his thumbprint and his foot on the neck of the nation of Israel. But God always has a prophet in the land, somebody who don't mind standing up and speaking out at whatever cost to him or her physically and otherwise. And so in this case, the prophet's name was Moses. But God did not send Moses by himself. God sent some Aarons and some Hurs. And I just want to stop for a moment to say, I'm going to fulfill my prophetic role of being a Moses to whatever leader needs me to be a Moses. That means that the mayor, to the county executive, to the governor, to the president, to the ambassador, to whomever, God needs a Moses to stand up and say, brother leader, your values are out of alignment with the God I serve. I may have voted for you, but your values are out of alignment. I may not have voted for you, but your values are out of alignment. Because we cannot be in bed, so to speak, with secular leadership and compromise our ability to call them to task with God's word. Moses stood up and he had an Aaron with him. And I've told my leaders, if you can't be Aaron and Hurs to me, I don't need you. Let me say that again. When I stand up and declare what thus saith the Lord, and you can't stand with me on my right and my left, if you can't be an Aaron and a Hur, then I don't need you. Because in these last and evil times, God did not send Moses by himself. God sent Moses and Aaron and Hur and Miriam. Every Moses needs somebody to stand with him on the right and on the left. And I'm just saying, I'm just putting it out there. I'm just saying, if I deviate from God's word, then you don't stand with me. But as long as I'm standing on God's word, I need some folk to stand with me. So it is then. God sends Moses and Aaron. Hur and others come in the story later. Miriam emerges later. But in this instance, it was Moses and Aaron that went to Pharaoh and said, let God's people go. Let God's people go. Let God's people go. You know the story. No. God sends plague after plague after plague. Frogs all over the land. Water turns to blood. Flies all over. Locusts chirping loudly. Right? Plague after plague. To remind Pharaoh that God is sovereign. I don't worry about what's going to happen in the presidency because God is sovereign. I'm interested in who he appoints to be defense secretary, secretary of state. I'm interested in the politics of it all, because I find it interesting how short-sighted we get when power begets power. I find it interesting that Mitt Romney can be so vehemently against presidential candidate Donald Trump. And then once he gets president, oh, I'll be on the first plane smoking to see if you will appoint me to be Secretary of State. Listen, I get politics. Am I the only one that found that interesting? Now, I'll even give him the credit. We're trying to build a team of rivals. You were my rival, come to the team. I get that. But at some point, you got to stand for something or fall for everything. So it's interesting to me, the politics of it all. But you know what? At the end of the day, I don't rest my head on the politics of it all. Because he can appoint anyone and everyone. That doesn't change my opinion that God still is sovereign. Now, I don't say that flippantly, because who is in leadership of certain state departments matter. Who he appoints to the United States Supreme Court matters. Because all of the social legislation that has been passed in the last 50 to 60 years could be repealed systematically over the next year to 2 years. All of it. Because a lot of us think he is in control of three arms of government. He's really in control of four arms of government. He's in control of the White House, where the Republicans are. They are in control of the United States House of Representatives, Congress, one half of it. They're in control of the Senate, the other half of it. Those are two separate arms of government. All under the banner of Congress, White House, Senate, United States House of Representatives. And he is in control now of the Supreme Court. And to whom he appoints to be the next justice to succeed the late Justice Scalia can turn the tide of the court. And once he has a majority in the court and a majority in the House, ladies and gentlemen, we need to prepare ourselves for what is likely to come down the pike. But don't lose your marbles. Don't get all discombobulated. Because we, the people of God, must stand up. And where there's a will, there is a way. And where there is a way, God makes a way. And where there is no way, God will make a way out of no way. And so on this first Sunday of December, I am very clearly juxtaposing President-elect Trump against Pharaoh and reminding the people to do what God said to do. What does God tell Moses and the people to do in this 12th chapter of the book of Genesis? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because if you look at the text, I want you to note two or three things in this chapter. And there's a lot more I can dwell on, but in the time remaining, I simply want to highlight a couple of things for you. Look at verse number 2. The Bible says that this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Now, I have done an elementary review of my Hebrew history to ask the question, is God instituting a new calendar for the nation of Israel in this 12th chapter of the book of Exodus? What preceded time? What time measurement preceded this time before the Exodus of the people of God? Maybe they weren't on a Roman calendar or a Julian calendar. Maybe they were on an Egyptian calendar. And what God might be saying is, whatever calendar you were on before, I need you to let that go, because I'm about to get you on a new calendar. And I just stopped by to tell somebody that you may be judging yourselves against somebody else's calendar, but today shall be the first day of your new understanding that you are not to judge yourselves by the calendar of somebody else. You are to judge yourself by the calendar of Almighty God, because God does not work on man's calendar. God works on God's calendar, and he may not come when you want him to come, but how many of you know that he always comes right on time? This is the first day of your new reality, of your new breakthrough, of your new message, of your new destiny, of your new promised land. This This is the first day. What God is really saying is I'm about to do a new thing. And I need you to get on my calendar. I'm about to take you somewhere. And I need you to get on my calendar. I'm about to move a mountain. And I need you to get on my calendar. I'm about to open a door. And I need you to get on my calendar. I'm about to blow your mind. But I need you to get on my calendar. Does anybody want to get on God's calendar? Does anybody want a breakthrough? Does anybody want a miracle? Does anybody want to go where God wants you to go? Then you need to get off your old calendar and get on God's new calendar. God is about to take us somewhere. The question is, do you want to go? I don't know about you, but where God leads, I will follow. Where God takes me, I want to go. I may have to go down a little bit, but the lower I go, the higher I spring up. Come on, somebody. God is trying to take you somewhere. But you need to get off your old calendar. Can I say that again? You need to get off your old calendar. And let me use calendar for a metaphor of the way I used to think. You need to stop thinking the way you used to think. God does not operate within chronos. He operates within kairos. You cannot measure God on your old calendar. You need to get on God's calendar if you want to go where God is trying to take you. But if you stay on the old calendar, you'll never arrive to the destination God has appointed for you. Does that speak to anybody besides me? Maybe I'm the only one. This is why preachers say I'm preaching to myself. My pastor used to say, amen, light bulb. The second thing you need to know is not only do you need to change calendars when you're dealing with earthly kings, the second thing you need to be, have rapid response. What are you preaching? What are you saying, Pastor? It says in verse number 11, thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, sandals on your feet, and a staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. The people of God must be nimble enough to have rapid response. You understand what I'm saying? A lot of us get tied down to earthly things. And God told God's people, if you're going to be with me, if you're ready to go, if you're ready for the shift, you're ready for the breakthrough, you need to have rapid response. You need to be prepared because you never know when I'm about to make this thing happen. But you need to have your shoes on your feet, Brother Vince. You need to have your staff in your hand, and you need to have your bait or your belt around your waist. You cannot say, wait, God, let me go get my shoes. You can't say, wait, God, I forgot my belt, my pants hanging down. You can't say, wait, God, I need my staff. No, when God tells you to go, you need to be ready to respond. Do I have a witness here today? You've got to let go of some earthly stuff because you never know when God is about to shift. God is about to shift, and you need to be ready to shift with God. I don't know about you, but I got a nice car, but if I don't ever have another car, I'm ready to let it go and shift with God. If I lost my house tomorrow, I'm ready to shift with God. If I lost my job today, I'm ready to shift with God. If y'all get together, have an unauthorized church meeting, and it's going to be unauthorized because I didn't call for it. Peter and Grace, if they vote me out tomorrow, if y'all vote me out tomorrow, it's all right. Because you know, I wait. You know how I would interpret that? God is shifting me. And I'm ready to shift with God. Wherever God takes me, I'm ready to go. Whenever God tells me to go, I got my shoes on my feet. And I'm ready to run. Is anybody ready to run with God? I'm ready to go. I want to go when God tells me to go. I want to go where God tells me to go. I want to be ready when the Lord comes. I can't be shucking and jiving. I can't be trying to people please. I can't be dancing to music. I can't be scratching where I don't have an itch. I got to be ready to go. And we all got to be ready to go. Because you just might get left behind. It's in the book, y'all. It's there. I didn't make it up. It's there. Verse number 11. When God shows up and you're not ready to go, you're going to get left behind. It's in the book. It's in the book. Lastly, not only do you need to get off your old calendar, not only do you have to have a rapid response and be ready to go, but here's the most important part. You've got to be obedient. This has now shifted away from the king. God will deal with the king. This has now shifted to you, the people of God. Whatever the king does is his business. But you've got to do what God called you to do. You've got to get off your old calendar. You've got to get your shoes on your feet and be ready to respond to God. And the third thing we, the people of God, must do, regardless of what the king does, is get the blood out and do what he told us to do. He told the nation, the people, all of the households, get yourself a lamb or a goat. And he said, at twilight, all of you shall sacrifice the animal at the same time. And then later that night, you are to roast the animal. But Jewish custom said you don't roast or eat an animal that has blood in it. Now, for those of you who like your steaks medium rare, I'm just saying. I'm a well done kind of guy myself. The scripture said, take the blood. Put it on the doorposts and the lintel. Go in your house, eat your lamb or your goat with bitter herbs. Obedience now, because if you don't do what God told you to do, you may compromise your deliverance. And he said to them, when I come through, it's right there in the text. When I come through, let me make sure I'm reading this word for word so you don't think I'm making it up. He says in verse number 13, now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. If you don't have the blood, you will be destroyed. But if you've got the blood, the death angel will pass over you. I don't know about you, but thousands of years ago, it was nothing but the blood. And thousands of years later,
Crusade is nothing but the blood. I just stopped by on the first Sunday of December to remind somebody that is nothing but the blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength. The blood. Jesus became the lamb that was slain. The blood. The blood, y'all. Calendar notwithstanding, rapid response notwithstanding, but if you got the blood, you're gonna be all right. And I don't know about you, but I'm so glad I've got the blood. I'm so glad the blood that Jesus shed for me, I put it on my family, I put it on my church, I put it on my pastorate, I put it on my car, I put it on my door. The blood. The blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. The blood, the blood, the blood. The blood, the blood, the blood. Does anybody know about the blood? The blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. The blood. The blood. Not Trump, but the blood. Not Mad Dog, the Marine, but the blood. Not Mitt Romney, but the blood. Not Mike Pence, but the blood. Not Republican or Democrat, but the blood. The blood, the blood. The blood. So I just stopped by to tell somebody, anybody, and everybody, the blood still works. Come on, somebody. Thousands of years later, the blood still works. I hope this sermon helps put January 20th a little bit more into perspective. But I got two more. If this didn't do for you, come back a couple more weeks. I got two more for you. My three kings, tap your name and say, neighbor, he's done. In the name of Jesus, let the church say amen. Give God a praise offering. Everybody standing to their feet. Everybody standing to their feet. Deacons and deaconess clergy, help me extend the invitation. As we extend this invitation, we want to just pray for somebody that God may touch you. Before the choir sings, let's just pray. Pray with me, bow your heads. Father, thank you for the word of God. I pray that I have preached what you wanted me to preach, the way you wanted me to preach it. And now, Lord, I pray that somebody receives it the way you want them to receive it. I pray that somebody may come today right now and surrender their lives, accept the free gift of salvation, and be saved in the name of Jesus. I pray now, Holy Spirit, that you would convict every heart, every mind, every soul, every spirit right now to remind us that you are sovereign over every president, sovereign over the Queen of England, sovereign over every leader in these world, every continent, every nation state, you are sovereign, O God. And I thank you for this reminder of these three kings. Touch someone now. Bring them to salvation. Help them to accept the gift of salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Let the church say amen. Again, the invitation is extended. Go ahead and sing choir. Anyone here wishes to come forward? Give us your hand and give God your heart. Anyone here? It will never lose. Anyone here today? Anyone here today? Oh, it reaches, it reaches.
It reaches.
Oh, it flows, it flows, it flows.
And it flows to the mountain.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the blood,
the blood
that gives me strength,
gives me strength
from day to day.
From day to day.
It shall never. Right there. It shall never. It shall never. Oh, it shall never.
It shall never.
It shall never.
It shall never.
It's power. Go ahead and put your hands together and give the Lord a praise offering. God bless you. You may be seated. You may be seated. God bless you. God keep you is our prayer. Listen, you know, there's always this unique tension between inviting folk to accept the gift of salvation. And sometimes I feel like I don't need to extend because you know if you're there. Other times I need to compel. I feel a need to compel. So it's just a matter of how I feel the Spirit leading me on that day. And on this day, the word is crystal clear. I can't put it any clearer than what's in the word. We can accept it or we can reject it. That's up to us. In Jesus' name. If you need to talk to someone, however, all of these men and women who are still standing are deacons and deaconesses ordained and consecrated for the very purpose of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with you. And so if you're here and you are on the brink of making a decision for Christ, know that you can go to one of these men or women and they should be ecstatic about sharing the good news of Jesus with you. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Deacons, deaconesses, clergy, may return to your seats.